podcast service of Quaker Gap Baptist Church in King, North Carolina, where our mission is to glorify God by growing Christ-like people.
You can't help but be amazed when you think about the grace of God in your life, the way that He works through each and every situation, the fact that we're even here this morning. I'd like to show you a picture of my grandfather. This is a Christian Youngman, and he's with the Lord now. And he and my grandmother, Lucy Youngman, they raised 8 daughters. My mother being the 5th of those daughters. No sons. And how did my grandfather support this family of 10? Believe it or not, he delivered bread. Back in the days when bread was delivered to the home. You remember those days when bread and milk were delivered to your house? My grandfather drove a Dugan's bread truck in suburban New Jersey. And this is not him in the picture, but just gives you an idea of what he did to support his family. But you see, not only did my grandfather deliver physical bread for a living, he also delivered spiritual bread. My grandfather was an elder at Terrell Road Bible Chapel, which was a Plymouth Brethren church. And the Plymouth Brethren church, kind of like the Primitive Baptist churches here in the South, they don't hire a pastor, but instead they have a group of elders, and the elders take turn bringing the messages in rotation. And so my grandfather preached the gospel at his church from time to time. And so his weekday job was to deliver physical bread, but intermittently on Sundays, he would also deliver spiritual bread, and that pretty much sums up his life, right? Delivering bread, raising little girls, fighting off little boys. Now, he passed away when I was very young, so I don't remember him all that well, but I often think about how thrilled he would be to know that one of his grandsons followed him into the bread delivery business, at least the spiritual part of that. So as we've been going through the Gospel of John together, we saw Jesus perform a sign. He fed around 20,000 hungry people with one little boy's lunch. Just 5 small loaves of bread and 2 fish, and there was enough for everybody to eat. It was all you can eat until they were completely satisfied and full, and there were 12 baskets left over. So following that miracle, we read that the crowds began to press on Jesus. They were wanting him to become their king because he could provide for them in miraculous ways. But Jesus went by himself into the mountains to get away from the crowds. And the last time we saw Jesus, as we've been going through the Gospel of John, he was walking across the Sea of Galilee. There was a storm that had kicked up. There were waves and wind, but he was just casually walking across the Sea of Galilee. He caught up with his followers, his disciples. He got into the boat with them. Immediately, the storm was calmed, and they made it to shore. Well, the crowd that was there for the meal on the other side of the Sea of Galilee were looking for Jesus and his disciples and finally figured out that they must have left. So they all got in boats, and they went across the Sea of Galilee. And eventually got to the shore where Capernaum is. And so they catch up with Jesus, and he has an opportunity to teach them again. On the heels of this great miracle, and on the heels of a miracle that they didn't even see, he's able to teach them in the synagogue at Capernaum. Now, I probably don't need to remind you, but I will. John heard Jesus teach a whole bunch of lessons, right? John sat at Jesus' feet and heard many, many things from Jesus. John saw many, many miracles and healings and all sorts of wonderful things that Jesus did. But he was very selective in the things that he chose to tell us. It would be too much for us to absorb, too much to write, volumes and volumes if you were to tell us everything. So he chose to give us just a few important messages from Jesus, and John writes them down, and he has a purpose for writing them down. Remember that purpose. John chapter 20, verse 31, he said, "These are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in His name." So the reason that John wrote this gospel and the reason that John gives us each story and each sign and each miracle is so that we will understand who Jesus is and that we will believe in Him and that we will have life. That's why we've entitled our study of the Gospel of John, Fuel for Faith, Discovering Jesus in John's Gospel. So as we read our passage this morning, I want you to listen closely because there are some phrases that are repeated time and time again. It's John chapter 6, starting with verse 25. John chapter 6, verses 25 to 59. If you have your pew Bible, that's on page 755. So listen for the repetition. John chapter 6, starting with verse 25. When they found him on the other side of the lake, they asked him, "Rabbi, when did you get here?" Jesus answered, "Very truly I tell you, you are looking for me, not because you saw the signs I performed, but because you ate the loaves and you had your fill. Do not work for food that spoils, but for food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. For on him God the Father has placed his seal of approval." Then they asked him, "What must we do to do the works God requires?" And Jesus answered, "The work of God is this, to believe in the one he has sent." So they asked him, "What sign then will you give that we may see it and believe you?" As if they haven't had enough signs already. Sorry, I had to interject that. "What will you do?" As if he hasn't done enough already. "Our ancestors ate manna in the wilderness, as it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat." Jesus said to them, "Very truly, I tell you, it is not Moses who has given you the bread from heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is the bread that comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." "Sir," they said, "always give us this bread." Then Jesus declared, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry. Whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. But as I told you, you have seen me and still you do not believe. All those the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me I will never drive away. For I have come down from heaven not to do my will, but to do the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I shall lose none of all those he has given me, but raise them up at the last day. For my Father's will is that everyone who looks to the Son and believes in him shall have eternal life, and I will raise them up at the last day." At this, the Jews there began to grumble about him because he said, "I am the bread that came down from heaven." They said, "Is this not Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How can he now say, 'I came down from heaven'?" "Stop grumbling among yourselves," Jesus answered. "No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws them, and I will raise them up at the last day. It is written in the prophets, they will all be taught by God. Everyone who has heard the Father and learned from him comes to me. No one has seen the Father except the one who is from God. Only he has seen the Father. Very truly I tell you, the one who believes has eternal life. I am the bread of life. Your ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness, yet they died. But here's the bread that comes down from heaven, which anyone may eat and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats this bread will live forever. This bread is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world." Then the Jews began to argue sharply among themselves, "How can this man give us his flesh to eat?" Jesus said to them, "Very truly I tell you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise them up at the last day. For my flesh is real food, and my blood is real drink. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood remains in me, and I in them, just as the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father. So the one who feeds on me will live because of me. This is the bread that came down from heaven. Your ancestors ate manna and died, but whoever feeds on this bread will live forever." He said this while teaching in the synagogue at Capernaum. So, on the heels of this miraculous feeding, right, Jesus is teaching these people not about the physical bread that they now have in their bellies, but about spiritual bread. So in the heart of this passage is this. He makes a claim. He says, "I am the bread of life." And as we have seen before, John uses the words ego I me, I am, to drive home the point that Jesus is Jehovah, God of the Old Testament. So he says, "I am the bread of life." So here's a large crowd of very hungry people. Not physically hungry at this point, but he knows their heart. He knows that they are spiritually starving, that they have great need. And so he offers himself as the bread of life to satisfy their need. He says to them, look, you're following me because I filled your hungry stomachs. What you really need, even more than relief for your hungry stomach, is you need me to fill your hungry soul. You need to be filled spiritually. And so he offers himself as that spiritual food to fill their souls for all eternity. So let's look at the passage a bit. Jesus first claims that he is God's bread delivered. He is God's bread delivered. And make no mistake about where this bread comes from, right? I told you to look out for repetitive phrases. Hopefully you saw this, right? The end of verse 32, Jesus said, very truly I tell you, it's not Moses who has given you the bread from heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is the bread that comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. Look at verse 38. For I have come down from heaven. Look at verse 41. At this, the Jews began to grumble because he said, I'm the bread that came down from heaven. And they're trying to figure out, how is this possible, right? We know where he's from. He's from Nazareth, and Nazareth ain't heaven. How can he be the bread that came from heaven? Verse 50, Jesus says, here's the bread that comes down from heaven. I am the living bread that came down from heaven, verse 51. Verse 58, he says, this is the bread that came down from heaven. Do you get the point that Jesus is trying to teach them that he has come from heaven? His origin is heaven. So this is a big one for the Apostle John. He even began his gospel with these words in chapter 1, verse 14. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. So Jesus is making the claim that he has come from heaven to earth, that he is from God. In verse 27, he says that he has the Father's stamp of approval. He says that his Father is the one who gives the bread. He calls himself the bread of God, God's bread. He has come to do the will of the Father. So Jesus is the bread of life from heaven, sealed and delivered by God. So why does the Father send Jesus into the world? Well, Jesus continues with this whole picture of bread. Since they have had some recent experience with miraculous bread, in verse 35, he tells them about his spiritual bread. I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. Never be thirsty. Do you remember the woman at the well and what he said to her back in chapter 4? Jesus said, everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again, but whoever drinks the water I give them will never thirst. Are you starting to see a theme here in the teachings of Jesus? His purpose is to fill. His purpose is to completely satisfy the needs of the people that he was sent. See, one thing that is true about bread is that it fills. It fills. It's filling, right? Sometimes, you know, you might go somewhere where they have bread and they put it on the table, right? And you eat so much bread that your meal comes and you're not even hungry anymore because you've been eating all this bread and drinking your unlimited refilled beverages and it's been exploding in your stomach. And by the time the meal comes, you could care less, right? And you know what tortilla chips are, right? That's just bread, all right? Just fried bread. So you're sitting at a table just downing the tortilla chips and drinking your Diet Coke, and the next thing you know, the food comes, and you're like, I couldn't eat another bite. Just put it in a plastic container, I'll bring it home. Bread fills, that's what it does. And bread is known all over the world, right? You have King's Hawaiian bread. I don't even know if they have that in Hawaii, but you got that bread. You've got rye, and you've got pumpernickel, and you've got tortillas, and you have Wonder Bread, and you have yeast rolls, and cathead biscuits, and you even have manna that comes from heaven, right? If you're from England, you have your muffins, right, your English muffins. If you're from Ireland, you have the soda bread. Every nationality, every country has its own type of bread. And so Jesus is speaking to the people about something they know full well, the bread that fills. But Jesus says, look, that physical bread is only temporary. It'll only last for so long, and you are going to get hungry again. But the bread that I offer, he says, spiritual bread, myself, I offer myself to you as spiritual bread, and I will fill you and satisfy your hunger, not just for today, but for all eternity, for all eternity. There is no other experience, there is no other person, there is no other thing on the face of this earth that will satisfy spiritual hunger. You may try and fill that hunger that you have deep inside with all of the things of the world, with the experiences of life, with entertainment, with noise, with the good things that this world has to offer, and you will still be hungry. Because God never designed those things to fill you. The only way to be spiritually filled and whole and satisfied, Jesus says, I am the bread of life. I will completely satisfy your soul. But not only does bread only fill temporarily, there's something else you should know about bread, and that is it also spoils, right? I bet some of you, if you looked long enough and hard enough in your cabinet, you would find some bread right now that's either stale or moldy, right? It happens so quick. Didn't I just buy this stuff yesterday? It's already growing. What's going on here? Right? I have a wife that gets very sick at even the sight of moldy bread. I mean, I've seen her pull it out from underneath the cabinet and gag as she throws it in the garbage because it's so awful, right? This is why Jesus prays, give us this day our daily bread. This is why the people of Israel in the wilderness had to pick up manna every morning because it spoils. Bread spoils quickly. It gets stale. But Jesus is the bread of life, and he does not come with an expiration date at all. In fact, look at the promises. Verse 27, do not work for food that spoils, but for food that endures to eternal life. Verse 33, for the bread of God is the bread that comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. Verse 39, and this is the will of him who sent me, that I shall lose none of all those he has given me, but raise them up on the last day. For my Father's will is that everyone who looks to the Son and believes in him shall have eternal life. Verse 47, you had to see the word eternal as we were reading this, right? Very truly I tell you, the one who believes has eternal life. I am the bread of life. Verse 51, I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats this bread will live forever. Verse 53, Jesus said, very truly, I tell you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life. Verse 58, this is the bread that came down from heaven. Your ancestors ate manna and died, but whoever feeds on this bread will live forever. It should be pretty obvious what the promise of Jesus is. His promise is life. Life. Eternal life. And it's very important to understand what Jesus is saying here as he claims to be the bread of life. He has come from heaven. That's obvious, right? He is sent by the Father to do the Father's will in this world. And he will fully satisfy spiritual hunger. He will give eternal life. Anyone, it says, that the Father draws to himself and gives to Jesus will have eternal life and will be raised up, he says, at the last day. This is all planned. This is all guaranteed by the Father. Jesus is the bread of life that has been sent from heaven by God into the world, that anyone who eats this bread will be fully satisfied for all eternity and will be raised up at the last day. And if you have eaten this spiritual bread, you will never lose your standing with God, because you aren't holding on to him. He is holding on to you, and his grip is powerful and perfect, and you can't be lost. If you take this bread, if you have eternal life, it can't be taken away. Now, some folks have a hard time with passages like these that appear in John chapter 6. I understand that. We may have a little bit more time to talk about this on Wednesday night. But some people have problems with verses like verse 37. All those the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me I will never drive away. In verse 44, says, no one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws them, and I will raise them up at the last day. Seems like the Bible here is teaching us that God chooses people to be saved, that he predestines people to salvation, that he elects people, he draws people to salvation, that God has a plan to save, and he chooses people to salvation, and then he draws them to himself through the Lord Jesus Christ. So it's pretty clear that that's what Scripture teaches us. So what's our job then? Do we just sit around and wait for God to do something? We just sit around and wait for God to complete that process? No, you see, because just as surely as Scripture teaches that God is sovereign over salvation, it also teaches that you are responsible for your salvation. And that's the next point we can pull out of this passage. Not only is Jesus God's bread delivered, he's also God's bread received. See, God takes care of the whole process. He sent the bread. The bread is available, right? Everything that Jesus did is by the will of the Father. Salvation is there. It's available for all. It says that God would have that all should be saved. But at the same time, even though God is in charge of the process, each one of us is responsible to do our part. Well, what is that part? Well, let's look at the passage. So what do you have to do in order to eat the bread of life and to be filled for all eternity? Jesus explains what the hungry must do in order to be filled in a number of different words. First of all, the hungry must come. Must come. Jesus said in verse 35, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry. Whoever comes to me will never grow hungry. Verse 37, all those the Father gives me will come to me. And so why don't more people come to Jesus? Why don't more people come to Jesus when they're hungry? Because they won't admit that they're hungry. They are starving spiritually and doing everything humanly possible to distract themselves from that fact. To distract themselves from the fact that they are sinners and that they are lost and that they are wandering and that they desperately need God to fill them. They're just wandering around the world looking for something to fill them and to distract themselves from that miserable feeling inside. But they're able to manage somehow by medicating themselves with temporary measures, things that were never designed to satisfy. They come up with all sorts of excuses, powerful excuses. They blame the church. They argue with the Bible. And all the while, they're starving to death. And if they will not come to Jesus, the bread of life, they will die in their sins. And they will not have the life that Jesus offers. So first, you must come to Jesus. But it intensifies beyond that. Because the hungry must come and the hungry must see. Verse 40. My Father's will is that everyone who looks to the Son and believes in him shall have eternal life. Everyone who looks to the Son. So Jesus doesn't expect anyone to come to him blindly, but that each person will come and that they will see, and that they will look upon Jesus, and that they will learn from him, and that they will decide. And nobody can see God, Jesus says, but Jesus has come to make God visible. He's the one who's come from heaven to make God visible so that people have the opportunity not only to come and to look upon Jesus and to decide. It intensifies even more. The hungry must believe. Boy, this passage is saturated with that kind of language. Verse 28, they asked Jesus, what must we do to do the works that God requires? Here they are, looking for some sort of a secret formula. You know, they want Jesus to tell them, you know, if you will check off the right boxes, if you will give 10% of your income away to the poor, if you will stay away from bacon in all forms, if you will only drink water and stay away from all other soft drinks, then you will be pleasing to God and you will have eternal life. That's what they want. They want a checklist. They want something they can do in order to be pleasing to God and to get this eternal life. People always think that they can follow some list of rules to earn eternal life. But Jesus couldn't be any clearer. Verse 29, his answer, the work of God is this, to believe in the one he has sent. To believe. Look at verse 35. Jesus declared, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. Verse 40. For my Father's will is that everyone who looks to the Son and believes in him shall have eternal life. So they must believe the person of Christ. To believe the person of Christ. Believe in who Jesus is. He is the Son of God. He is the Messiah. He is the one who came from heaven. He is the everlasting one. He is the great I am. To believe in the person of Jesus Christ. Now, this is not new. This is not new. John chapter 3, verse 16 says, God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. John 3, 36, whoever believes in the Son has eternal life, but whoever rejects the Son will not see life, for God's wrath remains on them. And then these words that were spoken to the Philippian jailer by Paul, Acts chapter 16, he then brought them out and said, Sirs, what must I do to be saved? And they replied, Believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved, you and your household. Each person needs to believe. Romans chapter 10, verse 9, if you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. So you must believe in the person of Jesus Christ. But there's more to it, and this is where Jesus gets controversial. Verse 51, I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats this bread will live forever. This bread is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. Flesh. What on earth are you talking about, Jesus? And then he goes into this talk about you must eat the flesh of the Son and drink his blood. Drink his blood. What? You got to understand that to the Jewish mind, this is offensive. If you read the Old Testament law, it says they needed to drain the blood. You don't drink blood. You drain the blood. This is offensive to these people. So what is Jesus trying to say? What on earth is he talking about? He's lost them now. But what he's doing is he's looking ahead to the fact that he is going to die on the cross and he's going to give his life for them. He's going to sacrifice his life for them. He's going to take the sins of the world upon himself and he's going to give his life. And not only must you believe in the person of Jesus Christ, you must also receive the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. That's what it means. By eat the flesh and drink the blood. He does not mean that you need to literally eat his flesh and drink his blood. That's how some people were taking it back in those days. That's cannibalism. And he doesn't mean that you need to partake in the Lord's Supper in order to be saved. That's sacramentalism. He's tipping them off so that when the time comes, they will know that they must believe in the one who gave his life for them. So John wrote this to people who already knew the story of Jesus. And we read it with that same 20/20 hindsight. We already know what Jesus did for us. You must believe in the person of Jesus Christ that he died for you, and everyone who believes will be saved and will have eternal life and will be eternally filled with the bread of life and will be raised up at the last day. And I pray that this is true of each person in this room this morning. It's the most important thing that I could ever say to a group of people today. This is the most important thing that I could ever say to a group of people. You must believe in Jesus Christ, that he is the Son of God who has come from heaven, that he has taken your sins upon himself and died on the cross, sacrificing his life for you, and that he has risen again from the dead. And that if you will come to him and look upon him and believe in him, and receive him, so much so that it's like you're eating his flesh and drinking his blood. If you will commit yourself to him and give yourself fully to him and trust in him, receive him as your Lord and your Savior and your God, then you will be saved. You will be forgiven of your sin. You will be eternally satisfied and filled. You will have eternal life. You will be raised up at the last day. And there is no one that will be able to pull you out of the hand of God, because he holds you securely. He chose you. He drew you. He waited for you to trust in him. And then he received you as his own child, and he will never let go. These are the most important words that I could preach to anyone. All I'm doing is delivering the bread today. Jesus Christ is the bread of life. Have you eaten the bread of life for yourself? Have you trusted in Him alone for your salvation? It's the most important decision that you can make. There are a bunch of people in here nodding their heads right now. I like to see that. There's some people silently saying amen. I know we don't get too loud in this church. Just silently saying under their breath. I agree with you, Pastor Jack. But here's the thing. First of all, if you have already put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation, then there are a bunch of people in this room that know what it means to be fully satisfied in Him. Right? To have that taken care of and to walk through their lives knowing that their sins are forgiven and that they can trust in God and that He will provide for them, whatever the circumstances of life, He is the bread that fully satisfies, no matter what happens. You know, quit chasing after the things of this world. They will never fill you. Look to Him, the bread of life. And when we face trials and temptations, difficulties and struggles of any sort in our life, we come to Jesus, the bread of life, to be filled once again. It's an endless supply. He fills eternally and satisfies forever. But at the same time, there are so many people who are struggling in this world, looking for satisfaction and fulfillment, totally lost and wandering, who desperately need to hear that Jesus is the bread of life, so that they will receive, so that they will believe. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your word this morning, and we are so grateful, O God, for supplying us with everything that we need, physically speaking. But Father, we are not a hungry people. Lord, that we know where our next meal's coming from. Might even be the next room. But Father, we also recognize that we are filled spiritually as well by Your grace through the person of Your Son, Jesus Christ, who is the bread of life. Father, I pray that we would never look elsewhere for that satisfaction. But at the same time, Lord, I pray that if there's anyone here who has not received Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, that they would take these words seriously today. And Father, that they would desire to eat the bread of life, to believe in Jesus, and to be filled for all eternity. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.